Welcome to the NARFM Podcast, where we bring you the most in-depth look into the property management industry. We discuss hot topics with property managers, vendors, and those that support the property management industry. The National Association of Residential Property Managers is the recognized leader in property management. Our host is Pete Neubig, co-founder of Empire Industries Property Management and co-founder and CEO of VPM Solutions, where property management meets global talent. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the host and are not necessarily those of NARFM. Now, here's your host, Pete Neubig.
Welcome to the NARFM Podcast, and thank you for joining us today. Got a little bit of a different kind of show. So normally we go ahead and we do a hot topic, I do an intro, and then we interview somebody and ask them questions, and they give great insight. Today we're doing something a little different. So I have Greg Deering, who many of you know him. He's the guy, if you go to the national convention, he's got the cowboy hat. Greg is the Southwest Regional Director of PURE, and former owner-operator of GDAA in Austin, Texas. And he sold his firm to PURE a while back, but GDAA had around, I think it was like 900 units, I think, maybe a little bit more. And Greg built that company with very little marketing costs and very little salespeople. So it was really interesting that he was able to build such a big company. And John Gillen is also on this podcast, and John is he's a very new member to NARFM. He's new to the property management. He's the owner, operator of Gillen Property Management in Fort Lauderdale. And how this episode transpired was, John had come up to me, he's a client of VPM Solutions, and he had come up to me and he started asking me questions about, hey, I really want to grow, you know, what do you suggest? And I walked him over to Greg, and him and Greg sat down at NARFM National in October and just started kind of brainstorming. And I said, hey, man, this is very useful information that we're sharing. Why don't we go ahead and record this? So we actually got on a Zoom call, three of us, and we started asking John questions about, you know, how does he want to grow? And we started giving him kind of pointers, you know, what I did at Empire, what Greg did, what we've seen out there in the industry. So if you are interested, especially if you're a smaller firm and you're interested in learning to grow, or you're just interested in how we grew our property management firms, and what is somebody who's newer, what kind of questions are they asking, what kind of budget they have, this is a really great episode. And even if you're an old timer, you'll probably have some stuff there that you could probably have added, and would love if you add comments or whatever. But I thought this was a really good episode. Lots of great nuggets in here, especially if you are trying to grow your business, which I believe most of us are. There's very few of us that are not trying to grow. So this is a great growth episode. So we'll be back after these commercials, and we'll be back with Greg Deering and John Gillen. Pete Neubig here, former owner of Empire Industries. We managed around 1,000 single-family properties in Houston, Texas. Property inspections was a massive time killer for our team. They were overworked from being out of the office and trying to catch up. Their reports would miss important items. They just didn't have time to do them well. And worse, we weren't even charging for all the time we were spending doing them. We solved this problem by using on-site pros. They scheduled directly with our residents for our annual reports and became our eyes, ears, and nose at our properties. Beyond that, they solved the problem of security deposit disputes with their incredibly detailed move-in and move-out reports, and our owners were happy to pay for the quality of the reports we delivered. It was one of the best things I ever implemented for both my team and my investors. I can't imagine trying to manage properties without them on my team. For more information, go to onsitepros.com or call 210-610-0132. Onsite, S-I-G-H-T, pros.com.
PestShare, a pest control amenity for your resident benefits program, starting at just $5 per door. You can give your residents the pest control coverage they need. PestShare will even pay for the expensive infestations, like bed bugs and cockroaches. End the debate over who pays for pest control, while PestShare turns an expense into added revenue. For more information, check out their website at PestShare.com/property managers.
Tired of wasting hours stuck in traffic running between your properties? Well, do we have the solution for you? ShowDigs is more than just a full-service leasing automation software. They employ over 2,000 licensed real estate agents specifically trained to show your properties on demand. Here's how it works. You list your properties through ShowDigs, and when a lead inquires to tour, ShowDigs' automation allows them to self-schedule a time that works for them. A local ShowDigs agent will accept the tour request through the ShowDigs app, and once they've shown the property, you'll receive a detailed tour report straight into your inbox. Want to learn how ShowDigs can save you time and money without compromising your conversion rates? Head over to showdigs.com/narpum to learn more about the only leasing software that can handle all of your field work. Fill out the form, and when you sign up for ShowDigs, you'll get to activate your first 5 properties for free. Once again, showdigs.com/narpum. All right, welcome everybody. So I have a new type of show or a different format. Like I said in earlier, it's like I have John Gillen here and Greg Deering. John and I, we met a couple of months ago, and John is new to property management, and he was at his national first time. Greg and I have been buddies for, 5-6 years, Greg. It seems maybe longer. We've been buddies. We've been in each other's offices. We bounce ideas off each other. So I thought Greg, who is an old hat, so to speak, been around for a while. He's got over how many doors now, Greg?
About 825.
About over 800 doors. So he's the guy, and he grew a lot of it without spending a lot of money. John was asking us at National about growth. So John, give us just a quick synopsis of where you are. I know how you got into the business, and then how can we help?
Sure. I'm John Gillen. I'm a licensed realtor in the state of Florida and been doing so well with real estate. Started a property management business officially this past spring, 2023, and working with my investors and working with my current clients here in the South Florida area. Also taking on a couple of international properties, believe it or not, short-term rental management in Mexico. So really jumped right in and enjoying property management now.
Excellent. All right, Greg, just tell us a little bit about your background before we dive right in.
Okay. Been in property management coming on 20 years, had a 3 or 4 year real estate career before getting into property management, and started from ground zero with zero properties and built it up over the last 20 years. So been actively involved in NARPM.
And Greg was the RVP of NARPM, and then he voluntold me to be the RVP once he did his 2 years. And then I voluntold Amy Carnes, who is going to be the president of NARPM one day. So really excited about that. All right, Johnny. So you're brand new. You got a few properties under your deal from some other investors. So tell us what's on your mind and how can we help?
Yeah. So my strategy here is trying to build the business infrastructure first. And then as I've been taking on clients, kind of fit them into our protocols. You know, of course, working on leads and all the usual stuff of trying to grab leads for properties, for management, for leasing, and so on. You know, and it's kind of what comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know, do you set up your whole company first and then wait for the doorbells to ring? Or do you go out and start ringing the doorbells and bring them into your house and set everything up, you know, when you have it? So that's what I've been struggling with as we've been going through this. And NARPM really helped me. Last week when I was at the conference, it really gave that validation that what I'm doing is definitely a good balance. Maybe a little bit more balance is needed on getting those leads first than focusing too much on the business. And that's what I appreciate, you know, some of your input, some of the other folks that I was able to network with and showing me some ideas as well.
All right. So you are talking to two operations guys.
Yeah.
Right, Greg? Greg used to work for FedEx, which they are the operational geniuses, them and Amazon, right? The two operational geniuses. But I'm going to tell you this. You cannot build your systems before you have clients.
Yep.
Greg?
100% agree. I'm naturally, as you mentioned, I'm naturally more toward a systems guy. And when times got hard or I didn't like the business or got up in a bad mood that day, I would focus on systems And that's where I naturally went. So it was always a hard turn for me, and I had to make a conscious effort to work on marketing, because marketing is the blood. You don't have the blood, the heart stops. It's just all there is to it. You've got to have the marketing, and lead generation needs to be your function every day.
Yeah. My business partner, Steve, he and I were complete opposites, right? He was the visionary. He wanted to grow. And our joke was, if Pete owned the property management firm, we'd have 10 clients and it would be run perfect. If Steve owned it, it'd be 10,000 clients and it'd be freaking chaos everywhere. And when I hired a business coach, because I knew nothing about business when I got into property management. I was a IT guy for 20 plus years and Steve was a pilot. And the first thing my business coach told me was, we need to focus on the lifeblood, which is marketing. And he didn't even talk to me for a year. He and Steve would literally talk because they were talking about marketing and then sales. So it goes marketing first, right? So you have to solve the marketing and then sales. And this is what he was saying. And then from there, you have to worry about operations. So if it were me and if it were Greg, I think we would say, I think it's like 80-20. You got to focus on growth first.
Right.
So then the question naturally, go ahead, Greg.
No, I'm saying I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. 100%. So then I think the question then becomes, well, how do I do that, right? How do I grow?
There you go. That, you took my question.
So Greg, tell us about some of the ways that you grew your business when you first started, because we know money is tight when you first start, and we know marketing means investing in dollars. So what are some of the ways that you can do it where it's low cost or no cost?
Yeah. And you're exactly right. I was running this thing on a shoestring budget and didn't know a lot about marketing. And so I was getting hit with all these different marketing ideas, and they were a lot of money. And like, as you said, they were long-term, nothing was short. So we started looking at a couple of things that we could do in-house. One, we went to several real estate offices, met with them and met with the broker and said, where's your biggest problem? What's the biggest problem you're having in either leasing or property management? So we started writing classes for that and putting on seminars or presentations. That was a tremendous benefit to us that we, and again, nothing's fast. We didn't get leads the next day, but it was putting on that consistent class or opportunity to answer questions that really helped. That was the single biggest thing we did immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that allowed you to become the expert, right? So you're in front of the room, you're in front of realtors, and they then knew that you did property management, and then they would give you leads. Is that kind of the concept behind that?
Yeah, that was correct. We wanted to become the expert in their mind. So anytime either an investor came had a question for them, or they were looking to refer to someone, we were the number one or number two in their mind, and we wanted that goal.
Quick question. How many brokers did you partner with? Because we tried to do the same thing, and our mistake was we tried to go to all of them, right? In Houston, we wanted to have a relationship with 50 brokers, and we found out that didn't work very well.
Right. We, you know, obviously started with one, but eventually we grew it to only three, but they were pretty good sized brokers.
Hmm. In South Florida, you can go this three on a block in some cases.
Were there any rhyme or reason to the brokerages that you targeted, Greg?
Well, I had been with Keller Williams prior to starting the property management. So I had an in to two of those. And also, they're pretty good size. You know, one of them had 100 active agents. The other one had about 200 active agents. So that was the main reason right there. Because we knew if one branch was needing something, pretty much the other branch would need that also. So by the time we got to the second one, we walked in and just presented them with a menu of here's what we can offer. And then they had some good suggestions also. And we took that back to the original one. So that helped.
Yeah, John, I'd say we did at Empire, that was one of the first things we did as well. First thing we did was we tried to become we were the company that sponsored like the lunch or the agent, you know, the agent meetings. And that really didn't work for us. It really didn't. We didn't really get much, and we didn't really build a relationship. We were just something like we had to pay, right? So all they cared about was collecting our money every month and really not you know, managing that. Once we became the CE certified, not only did we not have to bring lunch anymore, people were bringing lunch to our class and they were doing the dog and pony show. So it saved us money in that respect. Obviously there's time involved building the class and having to go and present, but we became the experts and we were able to get a pretty good following. We made the mistake, unlike Greg, where we tried to do it to a bunch of brokerages. And I think you should do some, if you can do some due diligence, find out if there's any brokerages out there that do not allow property management. And then you, instead of trying to become like, hey, I want to be the property management company for you, instead of that, you say, I want to be the guy that trains your team. And you go in with a different angle. I think that'll build the better relationship.
I do too. I agree. If you're the expert, you're willing to come in. And then on top of that, as Pete said, if you can get your classes certified, it's a home run. It's a home run.
Well, it's funny you say that because that was one of the things I did this summer. I got certified from the Board of Realtors, the Florida Board of Realtors, to teach the property management for real estate agents. So now I'm getting on the calendar to start going out there to different places around the state to teach it in 2024. So it's happening.
That's great. And now take that to brokerage offices. And the other thing too is I don't know if Greg, if you did this, but we partner with title companies. And title companies love to spend money, but they can't do it in certain ways. So they love to get a bunch of agents together. They love to host and they love to have somebody who's CE certified because agents don't go to if they can't get credit is what I found.
Right. Yeah. They need something. Yep.
So find out who else you can partner with to provide those courses. And being a presenter means the whole difference in the world. You're completely different from presenting, saying, hey, you know, we're presenting the lunch today for, you know, for John versus being, hey, I'm John and I'm going to be presenting for the next hour or two or three. I also, Greg, did you have different CE? Like you had the 1 hour to 2 hour to 3 hour. Did you have different courses?
Yes, we did, Pete. We had a 1 hour, a 2 hour. I think we had two 2 hours. And then we add up to a 6 hour.
Okay. So obviously most of us property managers, the number one way we start our business is through real estate relationships, is through realtors. And so this is just another way to kind of take that concept and just 10X it to grow it. Greg, did you have a referral program for agents?
Yes, we did. We had a referral program and then we added that to our guarantee. So we'd give them X amount of dollars. And then we also had a guarantee that when the property came to sell, we would refer it back to that agent. And that was, that was the issue that the real estate community was having at that time.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We tried to do a 20% referral for the quarter. And that was terrible. Like if you're going to do it, just spend the money up front because of bookkeeping wise. And agents just want money up front. So if you say, hey, I'm going to give you $300, I'm just throwing a number out there versus a percentage, they're going to say, hey, I'm going to give you somebody. And then as soon as we, you know, manage that property, whatever, we would give them the dollars right away. And then we got to the point where we were making we had revenue coming in that we could front that money. And if somebody fell off, it wouldn't matter to us that much. And so we pay people like right there. And one of the things we did is we got one of those fake big checks. Those real big checks, right. We would literally go to the offices and write the $300 check, and we take a picture in social media and we make a big spectacle of it as well. And so that's what some of the things that we did. But if you're going to give a referral, I highly recommend you just do it on the front end. As soon as you get that client and close them, they sign that management agreement, pay that agent, and if you can make a spectacle of it.
Right.
Much better than what we try to do. The other thing is what's really important is Greg said, you know, agents are wary of property managers because they quote unquote steal clients.
Yeah.
So we did the same thing. And in our presentation, we actually showed on our app, we had a screenshot that showed where we actually showed that they were the owner of that lead and that they would get that person back. So we showed that we not only did we say it, but we actually had a way to track it, which was important.
That's great. That shows the full life cycle too of the property and the partnership.
Yep. The other thing we did we couldn't force an owner to use somebody. Like one time I had an owner to say to me, Pete, I've been talking to you and your team for 4 years. I don't even remember who sold me that property, but I said, I do. And they're like, but I want you guys to sell it. And what do we do? What would you do, Greg, in that situation?
We paid them a referral fee.
That's what we did. 20% referral fee. Pay them a 20% referral fee.
Yep.
And they don't even remember the guy's name, and they get a check in the mail, and they're like, holy cow. Like, and so all of a sudden, the funny thing is that guy had stopped giving us business. I sent him a referral fee, and like a month later, he gave us another referral.
Really?
Yeah. Like, you know, it's like, because they forget about you.
Straight out of mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing that I would do is you have to have a CRM system right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Right? And if you don't, so one of the things that we did early on was anybody who contacted us, I don't care if you were a prospective resident, a prospective owner, or an agent that showed one of our properties, you got put in our database. Everybody got put in our database. And then we had it segmented out. Prospective tenant, owner, and agent. And so any agent that showed, they got put in our database, and then we would drip them on our agent referral program, on our CE courses, on where we're going to be, on things of that nature. So highly recommend that you have some type of CRM and a way to input all of those folks, because I think the average is after 45 days, they forget who you are. Sure. So you have to drip, and a drip should be 75% should be all about education, and 25% should be about, you know, marketing. Okay. And again, I know the CRM, there are freebies out there. There's some free CRMs out there. I think Zoho has a free one up until so many contacts. I think even HubSpot might even be free up to so many contacts. So you have to look around, but that's another, right? So as you get people interested and you have the CRM, it's another free way then to just create some content to make sure you send it out so people don't forget you. Because you work hard to get people to reach out to you, so you don't want them to forget you right away. Yep. All right, Greg, any other free ones that you can think of?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, how this evolved with us, and it turned out to be pretty funny, was at some point we had a little marketing budget, and we were looking at Google reviews. So in Texas, it's if you take a class for CE credit, it costs $7.50. We started at the end of the class, we'd say, anybody that gives us a review, we'll pay for your CE hours. So we started building reviews.
Interesting.
And that helped us a lot, because that obviously helps your SEO. And then the next thing we did was I started writing down all the questions that were asked over classes. And we kept getting reoccurring questions, as you might imagine. So we started doing a section on our website. It said do-it-yourself owners. And then we had another section that said for agents, if they had a frequently asked question. And we started posting those on there. And then someone came in and said, you need to do video. Oh, that was you, Pete. Told me that you need to do videos of these things. So I started doing videos because Google owns YouTube. And the more reviews you have, the more views you have on YouTube, it started allowing our SEO to take off. And those were all relatively inexpensive.
I'll say one thing about the videos is that we spend a lot of time and effort to try to get our website to the front page of Google for like, you know, call it property management, South Florida. Gillen Properties is not going to be there. Your URL is not old enough. You don't have enough content. And to get to the front page, this is before it became like more and more people understood this. It took us almost 18 months to get to the front page at Empire back in 2011 and 12. So it could take you 2-3 years. By doing a video on all your FAQs, which is brilliant, by the way, having the FAQs and having a video on it. What most people, what you don't realize is most people do not Google property management South Florida. What they Google is eviction South Florida. What they Google is how do I get my property leased? And so your video that is owned, you know, that's on YouTube, owned by Google, will pop up way before your URL for your management company. And then of course they get there, and then if you do the video, and then they could get to your website from there. So having those videos is paramount. And again, it's not a lot of money. It's not any money, because you can do a video just using your phone, your iPhone. You know, you don't have to buy any special equipment.
You had me up there. I'm an Android guy, all right?
I don't think you can do video on Android. Can you do that yet?
I have a real phone. I can control my technology. We'll save that for another podcast.
and then, you know, the Google reviews really is important, because I just bought something, big ticket dollar item. And the reason why I bought it is because I talked to a buddy who knows a buddy who said all these great things about this product. So I bought it, right? So the first best way to buy something is if somebody literally tells you, it's a buddy of yours, because you have trust, right? So John, if I told you to go buy something, I have trust with you now over the last few months of our relationship, you're probably going to go buy that versus another competitor. The second best way is an online review. It's just like a referral. I don't get it. I'm not a big fan. I hate Yelp, but people look at reviews. My wife, oh my God, I cannot go to dinner with her unless she's looking at Yelp and Google about some restaurant, right?
Yep.
So if you do get to the front page and you have no reviews, or you have lots of reviews, but they're all negative, it'll actually hurt you. So you did all that work to get to the front page. So getting those reviews before you get to the front page, or anytime, because anybody that hears about you, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to Google it. They're literally going to Google you, right? And so it's like, instead of Googling, hey, property manager South Florida, now it's like Gillen Property Management. And if you got four reviews and two of them are bad, even if it's a referral, they're going to be very reluctant to contact you and use you.
Right.
And so one of the ways, by doing a CE course, you get great reviews. That's an easy way. You have 10, 20 people. We used to do the same thing. We didn't pay them the $10, whatever it was. We just said, hey, if you thought this was a great deal, just take out your phone right now. You ask for it. You tell them what to do. People want to be told what to do. Don't just, and make it easy. All right, take out your phones, hit this QR code, and give us a 5-star review. Tell them how great I was at presenting today, or how much you went, whatever. You just tell them what to say. And I think we'd always get about 50 to 60% of the folks in the classroom give us a review.
Yep. That's about an accurate number. What I do it right then and there. If they walk out the door, you'll drop down to 10 or 12%.
100%. Yep. All right. So any other nuggets, Greg, that we have as far as no cost or low cost solutions?
I think the reviews, the Google, and then the other thing is building your website out to make it user-friendly. And I want to hit this. I know we talked on it, but just go back and emphasize how much business we've gotten off, or the business we've actually received from the do-it-yourself page. It allowed agents who don't want to get into property management and are tired of the agent or their investor client calling them, just started referring them over to our page. And to answer the questions, that was a real big boom on our part.
Right.
There's a guy, and I'm sorry if you listen to this and I forgot who you are, but he's in California, and he used to do a course, and I think he would charge like something like really cheap, like $39 something. The course was actually he owned a property management firm, and he did a course on how to manage your property self-manage. And people would come in and he would do it on a weekend, I think once a quarter or something like that. And he'd get about 20 people in the room. And by the end of the 2 days that he taught, he said about 50 to 60% signed up with him to manage their property, because they don't realize how difficult it is. So as you train people to do it, it's actually a way for them to just say, you know what, where's the contract? Here, let me
do it. Right. Yep. It's just much easier now because you've already established that trust. Now they hear you're the expert and they go with it. I think I know who that is. I don't want to name the name though, in case it's not.
All right. And then, you know, and of course they're like, man, like this is much harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I'm going to give it to you to handle it, because I trust you. Anytime you get in front of people that are potential clients or potential partners, you want to be on stage. That's another thing that we did. And Greg, I don't know if you did this, but we found some of the local investment groups in town, and we taught, you know, property management at those local investment groups. And we also taught just property, like we just taught like how to invest. And so we actually created the Empire Investor Club, and we were marketing people on how to invest in real estate. And we would charge a fee, teach them the basics of investing 101 in our market. And then lo and behold, guess who they're using to buy the property and manage the property? Yep. So that's another way. Now, of course, you have to market that course, whatever. But if you can get in front of real estate investor groups, like meetups or groups, they're always looking for people to present, and they're always looking for property managers to talk about. Like, so don't be nervous. If you're out there listening, don't be scared to teach investors how to self-manage.
Right.
Because they may do it for a little while, but if they're going to go to a, look, they're either going to self-manage or they're going to hire a third party. So right. If they're going to self-manage, they're going to self-manage. You might be the one to teach them to do it right. And then if they're ever going to fully, you know, got to get a third party, they're going to go to the person that taught them how to do it all.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, yeah. And then if you're teaching them to self-manage, you roll them into your CRM and you just do a checkup in 3, 4, 5 months. And
send there you go. Well, you put it right.
Card.
Yep. Put them on a drip. Exactly.
Yep.
100%. Yep. Yeah. The other thing that I liked that we did is we would buy lists. HAR is our MLS, and you can run lots of reports off of HAR. I don't know if you can in your local MLS, but we can run reports and you can find out all the expired lease listings or who are the ones doing the most leases. And we had a couple of different ways, right? So expired lease listings, we would reach out to those homeowners. But if there was somebody who did a lot of leases, we'd reach out to the agent to let them know, hey, you know, because now you can maybe lease our properties, or you work with a lot of investors. Have you thought about, you know, using property management firm? So that was if you can use your local MLS, it's another cheap way. It's more salesy, you know, outbound sales than it is marketing, but is also growth.
Yeah. Well, it's very targeted too. So that, you know, you're not spending a lot of time trying to find people. You already know that they have the interest. So yeah.
Yep. There's also a list that you can buy. And one of them is out of state. So people own houses in your area, but live out of state. So one of the things that we did is we used to send Excedrin, you know, the little
travel packet.
Yeah. And we would put that in a letter and we'd say, Empire Industries provides headache-free property management. And so just something, you know, I know we got a couple of deals off. I don't know how, you know, when you send letters out, I don't think you get a huge percentage of adoption, but you get some of it.
Sure.
Yep. All right. Greg, anything else that you can think of? If you were back in time, you're John, you found NARPM, luckily, because I know you found NARPM with zero doors, right, Greg?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, John, how many doors you have when you found NARPM?
12.
All right. So you go back in time.
Not far away from you, Greg.
That's right.
Yeah. So you go back in time, and we talked about a lot of stuff that you would do. Is there anything else that you would do?
I think pretty much everything we've talked about, but at a pretty deep level or very serious level, I would commit to something like this. A lot of the stuff that we did, we were very fortunate because of our NARPM friends and some educational things that we stumbled into this. If I was coming back and starting all of this over again, knowing what I know, I would have been much more committed and intentional toward what we've talked about today.
Yeah, you know,
I'm going to jump in with a question here to Greg. You're using the pronoun we. Tell me about your team and what that looks like at that point in time.
Up until I had 259 doors, it was myself and one young lady. Her name was Batgirl. She was so great she ran the office and all the behind the scenes stuff, the listings, the day-to-day, the finances, everything. I did everything out in the field and all the marketing and was the BDR. So for about 259 doors, that was our first pop.
Nice. Yeah.
Greg is super cheap, by the way, because we had like five people by the time we had 250 doors.
He was paying people for those reviews. So you weren't.
Yeah, $7 a review.
And Pete knows me well. Yes, I am super cheap.
Cost conscious, I like to say.
There's cost conscious, and then there's cheap, and then there's Greg.
Oh, there's a comparison.
That's Pete knows me well.
too funny. Yeah, I think, you know, when you're first starting out, we'll talk a little bit about this. When you're first starting out, you have to understand what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, just like anybody else, right? Yep. And if you have, if your weakness is marketing, your weakness is sales, and your weakness is all of that stuff, then you need to partner with somebody who can bring that in, or you need to hire somebody who can do that.
Yep.
I was very fortunate. My, you know, Steve is the guy that loved marketing. He loved sales. He would love to get on the phone and talk to people. I literally wanted to take the phone out of my office. I don't want anybody calling me. I'm like, he would not let me do that, by the way. I'm like, hey, I'm going to take the phone out of my office. And he's like, no, you can't do that. You need to have a phone in your office. And so I'm the operational guy. I love being in operations. So if you cannot do the job, right, maybe you try and like Greg, he's not a sales guy, but he did it, right? And he was able to overcome that limitation that is natural to him. But if you can't, you need to hire. And, you know, well, Pete, I can't afford to hire somebody. Like, you can't afford not to hire somebody if you can't do that gig.
Right.
Especially on the growth side, especially early on.
Yep. Yep.
Well, there's a lot of different options now that weren't available to us back then. I mean, you know, pre-COVID, pre a lot of things. I mean, you had to have somebody in your office. You don't have to have that anymore. You know, you have to think out of the box. You know, we have, you know, many, many companies right now that are offering, you know, remotes that can be a tremendous asset for us, either on a part-time or per job basis or full-time. But those weren't available to us. Or believe me, as cheap as I really am, I would have run to those longer.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's one of the things I did do. And that's how I met you, Pete, VPM Solutions, if I'm allowed to say that.
Yep.
And that was a great find for me to help build up some of my content with somebody who, you know, I did not know how to do and was able to do it remotely from all around the world.
Yep. Yeah. I think, again, you know, if you don't have the time or you don't have the know-how, finding somebody, and you're right, Greg, today, more than ever before, you can find low cost help, right? Which is kind of funny, because right now prices in the US are skyrocketing, but you can actually, you know, find somebody somewhere else to help with that and well, help you grow.
And to interrupt, Pete, but when this started, you could only get full-time help, and then you could only get, they would understand, you'd either have to train them in everything or very specific, which a lot of times, if it was me, for instance, I didn't need someone full-time marketing. I didn't need someone full-time doing this. So the options, and again, going back to your company, but VPN is, I can get job specific.
Yeah.
That wasn't there before.
Yeah. So when you look at business as a whole, you know, you want to start off on the marketing side of things. Like that's the lifeblood, and that's the funnel.
Yep.
Right. And so once you crack marketing, so right, because I can be the best sales guy out there, but if I don't have any leads coming in, right, it's going to be really hard. Right. So marketing is the lifeblood and brings the leads in. And so the first steps to fix is you got to fix those marketing steps to get those leads. Then it's like, okay, well, now I got these marketing, I got the right marketing leads, right? Because there's poor marketing leads and there's bad marketing leads and good marketing leads, right? Not every lead is equal. At Empire, we call them opportunities and leads. Most companies will say they're hot, warm, or cold, right? But you define what it is that's a good lead for you. An example would be anybody who has a property that we would manage within the next 6 months, okay? So if somebody called me up and said, Pete, I'm thinking about potentially buying an investment property, that's not a qualified lead. That's just a lead. It's not quality, right? It's not anything I can act on right away. Once you get that down, now you find out, can I convert them, right? What's your sales process look like? So you don't really have to solve a sales process until you solve the marketing process, in theory. Now, we're giving you a hack, right? If you listen to this, Greg and I are giving you some hacks on how to hack your marketing and use your salesperson to go out and drum up business, right? Like So like going out and getting CE certified, that's kind of marketing. It's kind of salesy, reaching out to people on lists, right? That's outbound sales. So those are systems. But once you reach out to those people, there's a conversion there. Is your sales calls and your sales conversion working? Then what happens, and only then, is when operation starts to falter.
Right.
Because now you have business, right? Yeah. And then what you're doing for 12 units is going to be great up until about, what, 50, Greg?
Yes.
And then you're going to have to readjust. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you what I did for 100, broke at 3. What I did for 3, broke at 5. What I did for 5, sure, broke at 8. Like it just, you know. But going back to the original thought, if you are focusing on operations and you never grow, you never get that revenue to actually build out the operations. You never get the revenue to solve any kind of challenges that you might have financially. You can overspend, but you can also stop spending real quick, and that revenue solves a lot of challenges real quick.
Sure.
Anything else, John, before we got a little time for one more before we close for the day?
Yeah, just in terms of your farming area, where did you focus on, Greg? Did you stay very, very hyper-local, or did you just expand it and go from there?
I did the worst thing you could do. I took anything everywhere, and I'm still paying that price 20 years later because, you know, I was, you know, as Pete said, everything's working. I was trying to keep beans on the table and the lights on. So yeah. I forgot about some of that aspect, and then we started moving back in. You know, I forgot on a Friday afternoon, there's 17 school zones you have to drive through to get to a property that you're making no money on. So I really didn't look at that. But theoretically, you want to stay within a specific area that you can manage as a one man or one woman operation, one person, maybe two. Uh-huh. And then after you get the basics down, you have the revenue coming in, then you can start expanding at that point. But don't overexpand at first.
Right.
Yeah. Would you say, Pete? What do you think, Pete?
I agree. I do have a question for you. Would you early on not take properties that you know are bad properties, or early on you understand they're bad, but you just need the revenue and you take them?
There's a balance there. First off, to answer the question, I took everything, and that was a mistake. But I took a lot that I wouldn't later because I needed the revenue, and that was a conscious decision. That was probably about the first 18 months in the business. Towards the end of the 18 months, I started looking at, okay, I've got lights coming on, but I've got more bills. What should I do? And I started being much more hypercritical of what I was taking. But that's totally different than what I was taking 3 years later.
Yeah.
So as the revenue came up and it allowed me to build the business, I started getting more selective. I did not get selective, and I don't advise a lot of people to get too selective on the front end. You need revenue.
Right.
That's where I was going. So I'm the same way. If I was in your shoes, John, I would take just about any property at this point in time. What I would not do is what I did at Empire. Not only did I take almost any property, but in the very beginning, we were having a really hard time getting our marketing message out and getting people to reach out to us and closing property management. So what Steve did, my business partner, is he's like, okay, well, we're having a hard time getting property management. What we're going to do, Pete, is we're going to do lease-only services. We're going to do eviction-only services. We're going to do make-ready services. We're going to do rehab services. This is not part of your core business. And if you are starting out as a property manager, you cannot run 4 or 5 different businesses. So I would tell you, don't do that to go get clients. Like, don't do eviction only. Like, we did eviction only services, and we got one guy with 6 doors, right? We landed him, and he was a good client. But that was it. Like, we didn't get. And so think about this: you're literally talking to somebody when they're most stressed, unhappiest, and those guys typically go through you. They you end up fronting off a bunch of money. Well, we did anyway because we didn't do it correctly, and then they say thanks a lot, and I'm out of here. So the moral of the story is, if you're going to make an error in judgment, do it on a house or an owner that you can manage, not on a new business line of a business strategy, if that makes any sense.
Right. And how did you build in your renewals of those contracts? Did you just keep their same pricing all the way through, or did you build in from the get-go a certain upcharge for the renewal.
I got a funny story on this. All right.
No names.
Sergey, if you're listening, this is about you. We were the $50 a month guys. I called us the Crazy Eddie. If you're from the Northeast, you understand what crazy is.
I had a t-shirt.
I called us the Crazy Eddie of property management. Our website was complete trash, and we had not met NARP, and we had no idea what we were doing. So bad, like when somebody asked me for a monthly report, I said, we don't do that. All right. When I first started my business, the rents would go directly to the owner, and then I'd have to bill the owner my $50. That's how poorly I was running the business, okay? That means I did not collect the rents, okay? So we decided we cannot run this way anymore. So we decided we're going to tell our clients that we're going to start collecting the rents. Well, I lost about 10% of my business right there. And then we decided we're going to increase our price from $50 to $75. And I had one guy, and he's like, that is a 50% increase in price. I'm like, really? It's $25, buddy. Like, you got to be kidding me. Like, if I'm not making any money, you're not going to have a property manager.
Right.
This guy weaseled me down to $65. Everybody else took the $75, no problem. This guy weaseled me down to $65 because he had like six houses with us. And that was a lot for me at the time. And so the moral, so anyway, we had yearly contracts when we first started. I quickly got rid of them month to month. Don't care. If you want to get rid of me, why would I keep you in a contract when you are super unhappy?
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you out. There's no reason. People feel like it was also a barrier to entry. People felt like they were stuck. What if they don't like you? And here's more importantly, if I don't like them, I want out too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Greg, what about you? What'd you do?
I want to hit on that for a second. That is a critical piece that I sadly didn't learn till later, because I was looking at the revenue and I needed to shift my thinking. Because when I started getting staff and someone wanted to, you know, we were going to go our separate ways, enforcing that meant a lot of them staying. And it goes back to what Pete was saying. I'm a big boy. I can take it if they don't like me or if I don't like them, and I'll collect the money. But it dawned on me, I'm taking an owner who is upset with us. Usually they're not rational at that point, and I'm forcing them on my staff for the next 3 months, as an example, for another $200, $300. And it dawned on me, I'm going, I can't do this. This is not treating my staff. We cut them loose that day. I didn't care about their contract at that point.
The argument, John, would be, well, we can turn him around. And the reality is you turn less than 10% around. Yeah. And then when you do turn them around, another percentage of that a year later fires you anyway, or you fire them. And so it's really, really a small percentage. So we learned that the hard way too. I mean, we used to be so like, this is the line in the sand. You sign a contract. You got, man, it just takes a couple of negative, like, you know, we also had this policy. As soon as somebody said attorney, we gave them a 30-day notice. If a client of ours brought up an attorney, because we're supposed to be partners, and if they see us as an adversary, then they don't need to. I don't need to do business with people who see me as an adversary.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say that, and that's why one of the reasons I asked about the one of my first clients that I did take on, he wanted a year contract, and I said, why don't we do a 6 months, which basically was June to December. Let's just do till the end of the year. And we got, and I had a feeling this wasn't going to last very well. And
yeah, the spidey sense going, huh?
It was kind of like, well, you just want someone to dump on. And so long story short, 4 months in, he said, I don't think this is working. I said, oh, you're the one who wanted this to be for 12 months.
Yep.
Yeah. I said, let's do for 6 months. And, you know, it was a good parting of ways, but it was a hard lesson in the very beginning. And it's making me, you know, look at this as a month to month rather than the annual. Well,
yeah. One of the things that we did is we would do an annual contract. Somebody wanted it, but we had, if you look in our contract, I think like one of the top sections was like how to get out of it. Like it was like you just have to give notice. So it was not enforceable. By the way, if people are looking to buy you, they like contracts, they like stuff on a contract, but that's really, that would be the only other reason why I would have a contract at this point. I think more and more people are going to month, right, Greg?
Yeah, I agree. We went to month several years ago.
Yep.
It made it a lot easier. Yeah, but you know, John, what Pete's talking about in this situation, if you do your marketing and you have a little, you know, gravy at the end of the month, when you get one of these owners, you're not sick about it. Oh, I'm going to lose the money and everything else. You start, once you have a little cushion, you can start making, where most people would probably start making better decisions than I did at first, but it allows you that grace to be able to make better decisions.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am now as a realtor. You know, 5 years in, I can be selective of the, you know, the leads that come my way there. And I see that happening the same way with property management. You know, yeah. I don't have to take that rental that's not going to
really what you can do is, if you know this guy, you don't want to take this guy because you know he's going to be a bad owner, just give him the guy you don't like down the road. Give him the competition, not the ones you like, the one you don't like.
Right. No, I like some of the ones in my neighborhood too. So
all right, fellas. Well, I really want to appreciate thank you so much for taking this time. I hope this was helpful. And Greg, thank you for your time. John, thank you for your time and for being vulnerable. Everybody, if you are interested, if you listen to this and you're not part of NARPM, I don't understand why you're not. Please go to NARPM.org. Go on the website and join up and be part of the NARPM family. If you are interested in virtual assistants and you want to reduce your overall cost and you need some help there, please give VPM Solutions, vpmsolutions.com, a try. We are free for you to post a job, fill a job, all of that stuff. It's free. We make money when you hire somebody and we take 10% from the virtual assistant's pay. So the VA pays us, not you, the owner. All right, guys, appreciate you being here. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Thank Good you. To see y'all.
Have you ever considered hiring a property management virtual assistant but didn't know where to start? Or have you tried hiring a virtual assistant but you weren't satisfied with the number of qualified applicants? If so, VPM Solutions is here to help. VPM is the world's first virtual talent marketplace dedicated specifically to property management and real estate. We have thousands of talented virtual assistants ready to work for you, including assistants for accounting, leasing, maintenance coordination, rent collections, and much more. With VPM, you can post jobs, screen candidates, hire and pay your virtual assistants, all from within our state-of-the-art platform. VPM is the easy button for hiring and managing your virtual team. And the best part? VPM Solutions is 100% free to employers. That's right, free. No placement fees, no employer markups, and no hidden charges. With VPM, property managers get the talent they need while reducing costs and improving customer service. Visit vpmsolutions.com and create your free account today.
PestShare, a pest control amenity for your resident benefits program, starting at just $5 per door. You can give your residents the pest control coverage they need. PestShare will even pay for the expensive infestations like bed bugs and cockroaches. And the debate over who pays for pest control, while PestShare turns an expense into added revenue. For more information, check out their website at pestshare.com/property managers.
Did you know that most tenants struggle to come up with a large sum of money needed to move into their new rental home? Let Renters Insurance Solutions help you solve this problem by giving tenants another option for security deposits. Property managers can make up to $200 per door annually with our programs. Learn more at our website, yourris.com. That's yourris.com. Renters Insurance Solutions, your experts in property management and insurance.
This has been a production of the National Association of Residential Property Managers, the recognized leader in property management, along with your host, Pete Neubig, CEO of VPM Solutions, where property management meets global talent. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the host and are not necessarily those of NARPM. If you have a hot topic you'd like discussed on the podcast, please email us at radio@narpm.org.